Hey there, guys and ghouls.
You're tuned in to Broadcast from the Belfry, a Gerard Way appreciation podcast for the morbidly curious.
Oh,
and I'm going to tell you right now that if you haven't seen season two of Umbrella Academy, you should. Oh, well, if you haven't seen it and you plan on watching it, then you should stop listening and don't listen to this until after you've watched it. I haven't even finished it yet, but I'm just throwing that out there because you know how we get excited about things and then just don't shut up about them.
That's true. If you hear a glass clinking, it's because I'm drinking alcohol.
Oh.
That's that.
I'm actually not for once because I've been having a lot of caffeine headaches, but I did save this for this.
Nice. Wait, I will contribute a little bit of ASMR. I don't know if you could hear that, but that was the sound of... Yeah, thank you. My name's Sanjay, and I'm joined in this podcast venture from a different state by Georgia.
For the first time ever.
For the first time ever. For the first time in forever.
For the first time ever and for our...
foreseeable futures.
Yes. And for our first official episode of year two of this podcast history.
Oh yeah, I don't know if you guys, some of you I know did, because you interacted with the Facebook posts or Instagram posts, but yeah, we have made it officially one entire year. The week that Georgia moved was also the same week that we had the release party / launch party, so thank you to everyone that's been here since the beginning. We love you. Thank you to everybody that started listening since then. I love you less. But much like my parents, I won't tell you I love you less. I'll just show you in very minute ways until you're an adult and can figure it out. So, yep.
Also, buy our stickers. $2. The end.
Yeah, if you want stickers, we have those. Yeah, thank you for joining us for a year. I should have gotten water, too. Holy fuck. I am...
As you can see, we haven't learned anything in a year, and we are always completely unprepared.
I'm a fan of Whiskey Neat. Like, that's a thing. If I wanted to just, like, slowly drink some alcohol, not really get buzzed or whatever, just, like, I would like a glass of a beverage that is complex that I enjoy.
Let me tell you, we just spent $260 on actual liquor to start stocking the liquor cabinet. It has a bourbon, a rye, a scotch, and gin.
That's
got the bases covered.
Just... I hope it's, like, Barton's gin. Just, like, it's a handle. Not,
it's, I can't remember. I know he wanted Aviator, but I think we got some, like, weird brand that had a cool bottle.
It's, like, so. Oakley instead of Aviator gin. It's Oakley gin. That's yep. A sunglasses joke, folks.
Although Aviator's not a brand, but, like, Oakley is. That's falls short.
Whatever. Wait, let me finish my story, turd. Okay, so...
Okay.
I went to go get some Buffalo Trace, which is a very good bourbon, in my opinion. It's my favorite. And they were out, so I asked the guy what I should get. He tells me, like, 8 different things based on what I told him I do and don't like. And in the end, he was like, I've heard everyone just hasn't liked this. Everyone has loved it. Every single person that I have told to buy this. It is Uncle Nearest 1884 Small Batch Whiskey. Uncle Nearest.
You hate it?
No, I love it.
Okay.
So I love the taste of it. And Uncle Nearest apparently is the guy that, like, the slave that taught Jack Daniels how to make whiskey. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. Okay. So I was like, also when the guy was talking to me about it, he said, yeah, Uncle Nearest is really good. I'm a really big fan of, like, everything they put out, especially in the last couple of years. And he cut himself off and he's like, do you know the lore for Uncle Nearest? And I wish that everyone just said stuff like that to me. Like, I wish that I was at, like, a TGI Fridays and someone's ordering a burger or something. And the waitress is like, yeah, our special tonight is also this, this. And if you're interested, do you know the lore of where we get our pickle chips? And I'm like, I do not, Selena, please tell me. And she's like, well... these pickles are actually, and then just goes into this deep backstory. I think I just like the word lore. I like lords.
There's a podcast for that.
Oop, I just hit my mic. What's it lore for?
Folklore.
Just like the
it's a Swift really album. It's a really famous podcast.
Oh, well, I believe you.
It has an Amazon Prime TV show too.
I mean, so might we eventually. That doesn't mean anything.
That, oh my god. No.
Amazon, please don't sue us.
Because that would just be us, like, sitting on a couch in a studio getting drunk while I tell you things that you hate.
Yeah, that sounds great. That's
That
what
would
we
be our
do.
show.
That's
I'm
what we
okay
do
with
when
that.
we
Just
hang out. Like,
and then our specials would be me making you go to places that you don't want to go to because they're scary or gross or both. Travel Channel, are you listening?
yeah. Please, the ghost of Anthony Bourdain, please help. I also love. Oh man. Okay, no more tangents. Backpedaling. This is a podcast. We're gonna talk about some stuff. We're trying a slightly new format that won't affect you guys at all, really. So we can have Hope fact check us on the air, like as we're doing stuff. But she has a migraine, so she's gonna miss out tonight, which she is very sad about. She says she misses all of you, internet. But I feel like she's also gonna be upset knowing that this is we're gonna talk about Umbrella Academy and or Gerard Way.
Yeah, I'm
So
kind of disappointed that she's not there because I wanted her to fangirl with me, but you'll fangirl with me. It's okay.
I will. Oh, would you like to start off this podcast with the insane flex that you have regarding Gerard Way? I don't know if we brought it up before.
Oh, I'm pretty sure we brought it up before. I don't really think it's insane. I just have his autograph. I mean,
It is insane. Are you kidding me?
I was 16 at the height of Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge, so I think it's a pretty. Yeah,
Still.
it's pretty standard. I don't know. So I went to my mom's today, and I was in the car, definitely listening to Black Parade.
Nice, nice.
So Stu just texted me. I want to put this out there. Take your time. I found a new DC animated movie to watch.
That sounds right. That sounds like Stubert.
And now he's probably gonna text me that he heard me just tell you that. So,
Probably. Apparently.
Netflix put out an animated Transformers. I don't know if it's a movie or a show, but it looks kind of cool. I don't know. Tangent.
Have I told
Another
you my
tangent.
flex about Transformers?
No.
So when I was 16, I went to Washington, D.C. for a program for nerds. It's called
Nerd.
NSLC, the National Student Leadership Conference. It's very cool, very formative to my youth. But
Does that mean that at one point in your life you tried at something that made you be able to do that?
dude, I really wish you would have known me before I turned like 19, Georgia. I had so much ambition and such a little depression,
I think
and then.
we flip-flopped, honestly. Because when I was in high school, I didn't try, and like I was involved in a bunch of stuff, but like I didn't really care about it. I just did it to do it. Like I didn't try at school, and I still graduated a 3.2. And the other day I was like, man, if I knew myself then, like I know myself now, I would have been fucking valedictorian, not that bitch. Blah blah blah. Like I think we flip-flopped.
Shout out to the valedictorian of Georgia's high school. Yeah, no, we definitely
No.
did. I used to be the biggest tryhard. It was so I feel like I never slept, which I still don't, but now I don't sleep because of my inner demons. Before I didn't sleep because I just had every minute of every day completely booked. I was either hanging out with someone, doing something, exercising, watching anime, because I used to also watch anime like 4 hours a day, and I don't know how I did that. It was very irresponsible of me.
Priorities.
Yeah. So I would go to sleep at like 2 or 3 a.m. and wake up at like 6 a.m. because I had stuff to do. And I've always been able to sleep anywhere, but it was at its peak when I was super busy because I would have people like friends in my room when I was in the dorms or when I lived with 7 other people at one point. It's like 4 guys and then 3 of our partners. There would always be something happening. Wait, what was that sound?
I don't know what the sound was, but the audio, or no, the audio kept going, but the video like froze for a minute, so maybe it
Oh,
was something weird.
reconnecting. But yeah. So
Yeah.
yeah, I there was like so people would be hanging out all the time, throwing stuff, not a joke. We just threw shit at each other, threw shit at the walls. One of my roommates got shot with a BB gun for $5, and I got shot with
Oh, that's
something
good.
else for like a $5 magic card.
Also, I don't know if anyone's noticed yet. I hope they have. I feel like we've had some solid interactions on the page in the last week, but we're trying to like do some new posting themed things, so
And we're trying to have a schedule for the first time ever. And I
yeah,
hope.
it's gonna be great.
Once again, thank you everyone who's interacted. If you haven't, but have at least seen the stuff and have been like, huh, cool. Thank you. We appreciate that as well.
I did definitely zoom in on Ted Bundy's unibrow a
Gross.
lot. Yeah, well, he's gross, so.
I mean, just because you kill someone doesn't mean you're gross.
But you killed them and then raped their dead body and then put it some, and then dismembered it and then put it somewhere where you could go back to it to have more necrophilia with it.
Yeah, but that's not the unibrow's fault, you know? Not all unibrows, Georgia.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, David's some unibrows. They're not great. Anyway, do you want to know what we're talking about
today? Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, it's our second year. We're trying new things. Mm-hmm. One thing that we've kind of talked about before but never really delved into is conspiracy theories.
That's true.
So if you wonder why I started off talking about Umbrella Academy...
The moon's not real. The moon's not real.
12,000 tangents.
The moon's not real. Are we going to talk about how the moon isn't real?
No, we're going to talk about JFK assassination conspiracies.
I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of disappointed, but I'm still excited about the topic.
Okay.
I know a bunch of half facts about the JFK assassination. None of them are really complete. So, I'm excited.
Well, I decided that your accent is that, like, weird northern accent that he has. Wait, have fun with that.
Can I just have a Texas accent? I keep hitting my mic. I keep forgetting it's next to me.
Why? Because, like... Because
it happened in Texas, right?
Did it happen? Well, yeah, but he's from New England.
That's so... I want
to say... Okay, fine. You can have a Texas accent.
If anyone's interested... So, I...
This is the first time you've ever argued with me about your accent, too.
It's because in a D&D campaign I've been playing... My character's name is Pierre Delecto, and I have a Texas accent. So my Texas accent might be the best accent yet.
Okay. Okay, well, what do you know, what are your half facts that you know about Kennedy's assassination or conspiracy theories?
All right, everyone, much like JFK, get ready because your mind's about to get blown to shit. So I know that he gets shot in the head by Lee Harvey Oswald, and that he was... Allegedly was shot by JFK was shot by Lee Harvey Oswald, and he went to hide in a place. He was in a building and he went to another building to hide. And I know that when Lincoln died or was assassinated by whoever killed Lincoln, John Wilkes Booth, thank you. They were in the Ford Theater and went somewhere else that had like a similar name. And you can like, maybe it was like John Wilkes Booth went from like an office to a Ford dealership or something, and then, like, John Wilkes Booth was in the Ford Theater and went to, like, an office building or something. There's some, like, a correlation there, and I know that, like, the gray matter pattern, like, didn't line up, so there's a bunch of conspiracies that there were multiple shooters, or that, like, John Wilkes Booth didn't actually do it. Lee Harvey Oswald, fuck, I'm gonna keep saying the wrong name for the rest of this episode now. And yeah, that's all
I just
want
to point out that Sanjay is waving his hands around like a crazy person.
I am waving my hands around like a crazy person.
You've got like the Charlie Day hands.
I do. Pepe Sylvia ending up. It's like, Pepe Sylvia? Who's Pepe Sylvia? They're not a real person. Charlie, Pepe Sylvia's a real person. They work in the mailroom.
Maybe to start with, I figured we'll do like a quick overview of the main characters just so people don't get confused and maybe you won't stop saying the wrong name.
I'm going to say the wrong name. If you've listened to more than three episodes of this podcast, you know.
I will repeatedly say the wrong thing.
Yeah, it's very true. It's very consistent. Also, my ears hurt because my headphones broke, so I'm using earbuds right now.
I noticed that.
It's so annoying. I hate it so much.
Okay, main characters. First of all, obviously, we have John Fitzgerald Kennedy, a.k.a. Jack, or JFK, as we'll probably call him. He successfully won the 1960 presidential election as a Democrat at the age of 43, becoming the youngest president elected. Fun fact, Teddy Roosevelt was made president at the age of 42, but he was vice president to McKinley. So when McKinley died, Teddy Roosevelt became president, but he wasn't elected president. So JFK is the youngest elected president.
Makes sense.
I thought Obama was up there somewhere, but he's, like, number 5.
Oh, yeah, because he was, like, mid-40s, I think, back in the
day. Yeah, he was, like, 45, I think, yeah. He was elected.
That makes sense.
Okay, and then we have Lee Harvey Oswald, who was only 24 at the time of the assassination. He apparently had a troubled childhood. I listened to, like, a couple different podcasts about that. It's pretty fucked up. Your standard kind of serial killer story, even though he's not a serial killer. But he was super obsessed with Russia at the height of the Cold War, even though he was in the Marines and he was like into the Soviet Union. He was obsessed with communism. And now psychologists are like, oh, his lack of emotional connection to his family as a child led him to seek like family in other places, which I think is why he valued communism.
That makes sense.
And then he's often described as a sharpshooter in the Marines, but I guess it's like he was a sharpshooter during training, but when he took his actual like official test, marksmanship test, he only passed as a marksman, which is like still really good, but it's not as good as a sharpshooter. Mm-hmm. He's second best. Oh. Which I have a feeling was not great for his
self-esteem. Yeah. Take that, Lee Harvey Oswald. Only second best.
Yeah. And he applied for citizenship in Russia, but it was denied. So he slit his wrists and was found by the officers that came to deport him. And long story short, they ended up letting him stay.
So he, like, tried to kill himself for real and just happened to get saved by the officers that were trying to remove him from the country?
Maybe. Some people think that he, like, did it at that specific time on purpose when he knew that they were coming to deport him so that, like, he had to go to the hospital and they couldn't make him leave.
That would also make sense if, yeah. Yeah.
And then it's also worth noting that he got a job at the Texas School Book Depository about a month before the assassination.
Planned, yes. Calculated.
Yeah. And then we have the other people in the motorcade that we'll probably talk about a little bit. Kennedy's wife, Jackie O. I'm not going to lie, I think goth Jackie O is like my ultimate fashion dream.
I will look this up right now. I feel like it's important.
She was, like, super classy, but she always wore, like, pink and stuff. You know how I feel about pink. I think she was a Chanel kind of woman.
My favorite Frank Ocean song is Chanel, so if that means anything to anybody, I hope you enjoyed that.
Fun fact with Sanjay. The Texas governor, John Connally, was in the car with Kennedy and his wife as well, Nellie Connally. And then in a second car, there was Vice President Lyndon Johnson and his wife, and then Senator Ralph Yarbrough. And I think part of the reason that he was in Dallas at the time was because the senator and the governor were, like, not getting along super well. And so Kennedy comes in, and he's like, hey, we're all one big, happy, democratic.
Come on, wake up, sheeple.
Democratic family, you know, we don't have to always get along. Families fight, but daddy's here now and he's gonna fix everything, whatever. Finally, I think it's worth mentioning Jack Ruby, and for now we'll just say he was a nightclub owner.
Okay, I have no idea who this is, so I like him so far based on the little bit of character development I've been given.
Well, he's the guy in Umbrella Academy. He's the guy that Luther works for. When he's, like, doing the fighting.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's Jack Ruby. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
As depicted in Umbrella Academy, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, little timeline here. November 18th, 1963, the Secret Service confirmed the route that the motorcade was going to take, and it was published in the papers the next day so that crowds knew where they could come and get waved at by the president or whatever the purpose of a crowd going. Yeah. I'd only want to get waved at by Obama, but that's just me.
Same. I want Michelle Obama's strong arms to literally send, like, torrents of wind at me as she, like, moves her hand in front of her.
I'm okay with that, too.
Glorious.
And then November 22nd, we all know what happens. It's reported that three shots ring out at 12:30. The first is believed to have missed, the second one hitting Kennedy in the throat and then going through his back and hitting Governor Connally in the back. That one's the magic bullet, quote unquote.
It was just a blender. Like, Lee Harvey Oswald threw a
small blender. Like, that's kind of where that term originated. Do you think that the marketing people at Magic Bullet were like, yes, that is a term we need to coin for something?
If it could save Kennedy's life, what could it do for your smoothies? Just imagine.
I used my magic bullet to make breadcrumbs the other day. That now I'm disappointed in myself.
I used my regular hands to crunch up some cornflakes for burgers. Did not work well.
Good job.
Thanks.
The third bullet being the one that went through Kennedy's head and out the other side when his brains went everywhere. I feel like everyone has seen at least some part of the Zapruder footage. Is like the it's just a home video, but it's like the cliche one where he's waving and everyone's seen it. It's what they use for everything. And that's like the one that they use a lot for analysis, because it has the best angles of like the best views of the shots, I think, and mostly the best view of Kennedy's brains coming out of his head.
Yep.
And then the motorcade immediately diverts to Parkland Hospital, and the I think it was either the governor or his wife who was like reporting that like Jackie Kennedy was like, his brains are right here, and she was like holding them in his hands and like trying to hold his head together and shit. Yeah. Like,
That's so, I could not imagine that. That's so messed up.
yeah. And I guess later she said that she didn't remember any of that. Like, I mean, she was probably in shock, so she probably just blacked it out, but that's what they reported. And then in the picture, it's like super famous. It's like the picture of Johnson that everyone uses, but it's the one where he's getting sworn in on Air Force One. It's like an hour and a half after Kennedy's pronounced dead. Jackie Kennedy's also in that picture. And I was listening to a Stuff You Should Know episode about this, and they said that they had to position her in that photograph in a way to not be able to see all of the blood stains that were still on her clothes.
What?
Yeah. Because they went straight to the hospital, and then from the hospital, they went straight back to Air Force One because Secret
Dang.
Service was like, we gotta get out of here.
Yeah, like someone's trying to murder some dudes.
Yeah. I'm just gonna read this part from Wikipedia because it sums it up really well and like precisely, and it like describes things frame by frame as you can see them in the Zapruder footage. So I'm just gonna read this. According to witnesses, the shooting occurred shortly after the limousine made the sharp left-hand turn from Houston onto Elm Street. Most of the witnesses recalled that the first shot was fired after the president had started waving with his right hand. Several onlookers recalled hearing three shots, with the second and third shots bunched discreetly much closer together than the first and second shots. Witnesses estimate that from 3 to 8 shots were fired, which 8 is a lot.
Yeah.
The Zapruder film shows the president re-emerging in the footage after being temporarily hidden from view by the Stemmons Freeway sign at Zapruder Films frames 215 to 223. His mouth had already opened wide in an anguished expression by frame 225. He's already been impacted by a bullet which hit him in the upper back and exited his throat, and his hands clenched into fists. He then quickly raises his fist dramatically in front of his face and throat as he turns leftwards towards his wife. Secret Service agent Clint Hill testified that he heard one shot, then jumped off the running board of the Secret Service follow-up car directly behind Kennedy. Hill was filmed jumping off his follow-up car at the equivalent of the Zapruder frame 308, about a quarter of a second before the president's head exploded at frame 313.
Wow.
Hill then rapidly ran towards the presidential limo, and then another shot hit Kennedy in the head, cracking open the right side of his skull. As the limousine began speeding up, Mrs. Kennedy was heard to scream, and she climbed out of the back seat onto the rear of the limo. At the same time, Hill managed to climb aboard and hang on to the suddenly accelerating limo, and Mrs. Kennedy returned to the back seat. Hill then shielded her and the president. Both of the colonies stated they heard Miss Kennedy say, "I have his brains in my hand." Like, that's why she was reaching out of the back seat, was to like get them from the back of the car. The limo driver and the police motorcycles turned on their sirens and raced at high speeds towards Parkland Hospital, passing their intended destination of the Dallas Trademark along the way and arriving at about 12:38.
What
Like,
the
that's
heck?
crazy. Can you imagine, like, just grabbing your husband's brains from the back of a car?
Yeah, also like kudos to the Secret Service guy in what was that like the difference of like a quarter of a second or whatever?
Yeah,
Or like a second
it
he
was.
like heard a gunshot and
Yeah.
like jumped. Like he was like so ready. That's pretty
Well,
cool.
like, the second and third gunshots were supposed to be really close together, and in that time in between, it was a matter of seconds when he was just like, whoop, here I am. I mean, I guess that's their job, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but still, if someone orders a full Chipotle with chips, like, there's going to be more than a few seconds between me, like, hearing that and then, like, physically doing it. Like, I my gears have to turn for a second, so, yeah, it's not, like, my gut reaction.
Kennedy is pronounced dead at 1 o'clock. Well, they don't, like, publicly announce it till, like, 1:33, I think, but I also read this, which I thought was kind of crazy. So, a few minutes after 2 o'clock, President Kennedy's body, this is straight from Wikipedia, too. I don't know if you can tell what I was reading today, but President Kennedy's body was removed from Parkland Hospital and transported straight to Air Force One. The removal occurred subsequent to a 10 to 15 minute angry confrontation between Kennedy's special assistant, Ken O'Donnell, backed by weapons drawn and or aimed Secret Service agents, with Parkland Hospital doctors and medical examiner Dr. Earl Rose, along with a justice of the peace. The removal of President Kennedy's body may have been illegal according to Texas state law because it was done before a forensic examination could be performed by the Dallas coroner.
Oh.
And the assassination of the president was at the time listed as a state-level crime and not a federal one, and as such legally occurred under Texas jurisdiction. But to this day, no official judge or court of law has ruled on that matter.
Why not? That seems like something that people would love to get on top of. Like,
yeah, well, it reminds me of there's an episode of Bones where, like, they shut down the lab and they, like, bring in this skeletal remains and they won't tell any, like, they have pieces of evidence but they have no context. They're not supposed to ID the victim, they're just supposed to determine cause of death. Mm-hmm. But, like, they put everything together. There's, like, a little piece of pink Chanel wool, and they, like, I think they're given the, there's something to say that he died in, like, 1963, and, like, Jackie Kennedy was wearing a pink Chanel suit in the motorcade. And so, like, they put all these pieces together, and they're like, holy shit, it's JFK, and they're pretty sure that the single shooter theory is impossible, and, like, Booth's trying to, like, recreate the shots and everything, and it's good one.
Because Booth actually was a sharpshooter, right?
Yeah, he, like, was a sniper.
Mm-hmm.
In the Marines, yeah. And they make a reference to it in a couple episodes, but he's a descendant of John Wilkes Booth, but he's really sensitive about it, so you're not supposed to bring it up around him. Yeah.
That's such a weird small detail to put in there. It's like,
it's really funny.
Lovable guy, all of our dads, related to the guy that shot JFK. The
guy that shot Lincoln. Oh yeah, my god.
That's what I said, right?
No, 100%. You said JFK.
Don't remember it that way, but, you know, we'll let the listeners decide.
Boop, 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 boop. So Johnson is sworn in aboard Air Force One before it takes off, which they called JFK's brother, Bobby Kennedy, to be like, what do we do? And he was like, yo, you gotta get Johnson sworn in before you take off, like, probably just in case something else happened, but like, you can't leave the country without a president for, mm-hmm. you know. So yeah, they got Johnson sworn in on Air Force One, and then they went back to Washington. In the meantime, the official finding, as we all know, the official finding is that Lee Harvey Oswald shot all three rounds from a window of the Texas school book depository without acting on behalf of any organization or individual. One of the police motorcycle escorts heard the shot, and they're, like, looking around, and they see some pigeons, and we're like, ah, fuck, let's get out of here, because I guess pigeons fly away when gunshots go off.
Everyone runs away when gunshots go off. They're loud. Like, what? Ignore all the people. Just like, oh, the birds are gone.
I'm sure it's something that you're, like, trained to look for. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he sees that they're flying either from the roof of the book depository or the building next to it. And so he thinks, his name was Baker, like you.
Yeah.
He thinks it sounds like a high-powered rifle, and he, like, takes off on his motorcycle in that direction because he's a badass, I guess. I don't know. And he makes his way to the book depository with the building superintendent, and he confronts Oswald on the stairs, but the superintendent's like, no, this guy works here, it's cool. So he Oswald's let go, and about an hour later, around 1:30, the police eventually find the rifle in the building and, like, his little, you know, like,
murder
maybe
suit.
There's some cigarette butts or whatever, I don't know, whatever is down there.
Yeah, it was the 60s, everyone was smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. So within this, like, hour that they're all busy looking for the gun, within this time, he has gotten a bus, which got stuck in traffic, so he got out and flagged a cab, and then he took that past his boarding house to, like, throw someone off, but, like, who is he throwing off? I don't know. Takes it past his boarding house and then walks back to his boarding house, and then goes in his room. He is reported to only be there for, like, 3 or 4 minutes by witnesses, and then he comes out, and less than a mile away, he shoots a cop, Officer Tippett, and then he sneaks into a movie theater to hide.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the fact I was thinking of, kind of.
People notice that he actually sneaks in while the, what's that thing called? The ticket booth. You know, the girl at the ticket booth, whatever. She's talking to someone else or she's busy doing something and he, like, snuck in. And they're like, that guy didn't pay for a ticket. And so they went and tell the girl at the ticket booth and she calls the cops. And they're the ones who are like, oh, that's the guy that was identified. You know, he matches the description of the guy who shot the cop.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they are not really, like, 100% putting it together with Kennedy yet. They're just like, that's the guy that shot the cop. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they show up with, like, 24, like, detectives, investigators, and officers and everything, like, surround this fucking movie theater, attempt to arrest him. This is, like, not even 2 o'clock yet. This is, like, a whirlwind of an afternoon, I swear. The whole time they're trying to arrest him, he tries to shoot another cop, punched another one.
Okay.
Yep. He's just going down. And this is when he is famously quoted as saying, well, it's all over now. On November 24th, so 2 days later, in front of live television cameras, Jack Ruby just shows up and shoots Oswald.
Like Death by Firing Squad, but like one?
No, like he just showed up and in turn assassinated him. So the nightclub owner.
What the fuck?
That Luther works for.
What the fuck?
Shows up, shoots Oswald, and I guess he doesn't die immediately. They take him to the same hospital where they took Kennedy, and he died there, coincidentally.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruby says he did this because I guess he told a bunch of people, like, he, like, cried and cried and cried about the assassination. He's like, why would someone do that to such a great man? And he asked one of his friends, do you think I should shut the nightclubs down for 3 nights? Like, to, in respect.
Yeah. And they were like, no, you should just go murder that dude. And he's like, you're right.
You're right. And he claims that he did it because he was, quote, saving Mrs. Kennedy the discomfiture of coming back to trial. He didn't want her to have to come back and, like, testify at this trial of her husband's murder and all this stuff.
That does sound like something
a gentleman would do.
Yeah, a nuclear 1960 something guy would do. It's like, I'm gonna go to the picture show and then I'm gonna murder the guy that murdered JFK.
I didn't really look that much into it, but, like, he's in custody, he's been arrested, and Jack Ruby just somehow, like, walks in there and shoots him.
I bet he was kind of famous, so they were like, he just, like, went into the jail or something and was just like, and, like, oh, hey, Jack, like, how's the club doing? He's like, oh, good, good. Are you and the wife going to come by? Or are you and the boys going to come by? Because women didn't have rights at that point, really. And they're like, yeah, you know, I got to take my son. He needs to get the 18 experience, if you know what I mean. And Jack's like, oh, I'm glad it's finally his birthday. Let me make sure he's a real man. All right, I'm going to go say hi to the inmates, you know, like I do. And then gun just kills him.
Real talk. Carly just messaged me, she's been watching Community for the first time, and she just says, should I watch the second D&D episode without watching the first, or will it ruin things? These are important questions, people.
I think you can't, like, you don't have content, like, she just needs to, like, read a summary or something of the first episode, yeah. And she'll be fine.
I just said, it's not really related.
Yeah.
Fun fact, Ruby was sentenced to death, which was then, it was appealed after that, and successfully. But he died in 1967 anyway from cancer, which had spread to his liver, lungs, and brain, I think.
Dang.
Yeah. And some people think that he was involved with the mafia and that he killed Oswald as part of a cover-up, so.
Like a cover-up or like a, hey, if you want to keep your kneecaps, you got to do this thing you owe us?
Probably like they used both of them to keep people quiet, I don't know. All right. That makes sense. November 29th, 1 week later... This is when Johnson forms the President's Commission on the Assassination of President Kennedy, chaired by Chief Justice Earl Warren, which is now known as the Warren Commission, and that's to investigate all the avenues surrounding the assassination. That's why the official findings of the case are that Oswald acted alone and of his own volition, and then in turn, Ruby also acted alone and of his own volition. So they weren't affiliated with any organization or individual. And its final report was 888 pages long.
Cannot. I feel like that's your dream. Just like you get all sweaty when you hear anything above.
Highlight
like,
everything.
Yeah. Literally highlights the whole book.
Honestly, I am one of those people. But you're not surprised.
I'm not, no.
So, first of all, there was a ton of criticism because the Secret Service were like, okay, here's the route that the motorcade's going to take. There are like 20,000 windows along here. That's too many. We don't have enough manpower for that. So let's just not scope out any of them.
Yeah, like that doesn't make sense. I was kidding. Like who does that?
Nope, that's what they did.
Oh man, we have to mow a whole lawn, but we only have one lawnmower. Let's just not touch any of the grass instead and just still have a picnic. No. Yep.
So then they also didn't communicate the route with the FBI, so the FBI couldn't really do their part in like making sure things were kosher. And had they communicated things with the FBI, maybe the FBI would have told them this, but they kind of had Oswald on their radar for a second at this point, and they knew that he worked at one of the buildings along the route.
So they were literally trying to narrow it down to, like, if this guy is a threat, then he would be at one point, like, over around here. It's so stupid.
But they didn't give that information to the Secret Service because they didn't know that the route would be going past this building. So basically, like, teamwork makes the dream work, and the dream did not work.
No. Neither did JFK's plan of living, so...
Yeah.
Good
job, Secret Service and FBI.
But not a joke. Good job to that guy that jumped up real fast.
Yeah.
We're very pro that guy on this podcast.
We're pro that guy. Mm-hmm. I think his name was like... No, that was a different... I think his name was Rufus Youngblood, but that might have been the guy in the other car. I can't remember.
I was going to make up a fake name, and your fake name sounds more like a fantasy character than mine, which is impressive.
That was a Secret Service agent, but I don't know if that was the... That one might have been the one in the car with the vice president. I can't remember exactly.
Oh, okay.
So, 100% real guy.
That's
insane.
I
wonder if he's related to Luke.
I hope he is.
I hope so. So, there was a second investigation by the House Select Committee on Assassinations, and their determination, I said that weird, they decided that Kennedy was likely assassinated as part of a conspiracy, but they ruled out involvement from the CIA, the Mafia, the Vice President, Cuba, and the KGB, which are all like pretty popular conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Across the board.
Because they're the universal bad guys. But remember, just because you're a bad guy doesn't mean you have to be bad guy. Quote Zangief, Wreck-It Ralph, 2012.
So the CIA, we're not really going to get into, but kind of. The Mafia, obviously, with like Jack Ruby and everything. Vice President, I'll tell you about here in a second. Cuba, Bay of Pigs had just happened, and Fidel Castro was still doing his thing. And then the KGB, like, Oswald spent all that time in Russia, and being a crazy person, so
yeah, it would make sense that there was like a connection with like that he actually made, and they were like, oh, if you do this thing for us, you can become a citizen.
Yeah, exactly. That's what a lot of people think. And also, it was the height of the Cold War, so one of Oswald's things was like, hey, if you make me a citizen, I was like he did something with like radars or something in the military, so he was like, I can give you information on this, even though he probably didn't actually have any information worth like anything, so
yeah.
The vice president theory is largely based on statements by this lady called Madeline Brown, who claims that she had an affair with Lyndon Johnson.
Interesting.
And they were at a party the night before, and he whispered into her ear, quote, after tomorrow, those Kennedys will never embarrass me again. That's no threat. That's a promise.
Who says that? And, that's literally some, like, villain stuff, you know?
Right? And all of this has been debunked, and she's been identified as a crackpot. Not my words.
Oh, they're gonna say crackhead. Like, I want a federal, like, document that says, like, crackhead, capital C, capital H.
They've determined that there's no way that Johnson would have been at this party that she claimed they were at, and all this other stuff, so. Another generic claim is that people didn't like Kennedy, and because he was, like, gonna pull troops out of Vietnam, but I read a thing that was, like, maybe he said that he didn't think the war was worth, like, what was being put into it, but that also doesn't mean that he said anything about pulling troops out of Vietnam. Like, that just meant that he didn't support the military actions that were happening.
Which a lot of people didn't. That was a very common opinion as an American citizen.
Which, can we just talk about, like I said, I haven't finished it yet, but oh my, when Klaus goes into that hardware, well, into the diner after he goes in the hardware store, and he's, like, telling, his name Jack, I can't remember, enlist.
It's, like, Danny or Dave or something like that. For this part of the episode, let's get a little bit sensual. It's just, let's get really close to the microphone. It's just you and me now, podcast listeners. George is not here to teach us things. So we're gonna have to teach each other, one day at a time. I'll go first. Did you know that in the hit 2006 television series, Phil of the Future, people don't have toes in the future? I believe that it was a, according to the theme song, 22nd century family, meaning that within the next 80 years, we're gonna lose our pinky toes. Make sure you use yours every day to the fullest, you know? Stub it against a corner. You know, you really gotta appreciate what you've got while you still have it. Oh, George is back now. Thank you, listeners. Let's continue with the show. I don't know how much of that you heard, honestly.
We heard all of it.
Oh. Yeah.
I didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, your camera froze.
Listeners, I did not go anywhere.
Yeah, I like that Klaus, in the next scene, was like, and his obviously closeted uncle just, like, isn't really fazed by the fact that the love of his life hit him. He's just, and he's just like, oh, that guy's definitely gay. He just is trying to work out his issues against me. He doesn't mean anything to me. I'm just worried about the love of my life's safety. And I'm just like, oh, that's so sweet. That's so
close. I also don't remember, how he has the experiences from being in Vietnam.
No, I also don't. I was trying to remember, because I, remember that he was sent back and they came back to modern day. But that was one of the many details. I also forgot that Hazel and Cha-Cha were in that show, so even though they talk about Hazel in the beginning, I was like, huh, weird name for an old guy. And then he, they referenced Cha, and that, she didn't make it, and I was like, huh, weird. And then at the end of the show, you see someone wearing a mask, and I was like, what's that show where there's a guy dressed as a rabbit and a girl dressed as, a teddy bear? And it, there was, a full minute, because I couldn't tell if Hope also forgot, which I thought it was, or if she was just that impressed at how dumb I was in that moment. She's like, this show, it's Umbrella Academy season one. And yeah, a friend of the show, Tipper, reminded us or brought up that Allison is married before season two.
Yeah.
And that she
has a kid.
Yeah, which I don't remember at all. At all.
I only remember that because I still hadn't watched the last episode of season one, so we had to watch that before jumping into season two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the only reason I remember some stuff from. I forgot that Ben was their brother, and that's why he's always with Klaus, and he does the tentacle thing. And I forgot that. I forgot what most of their powers were.
No, I definitely remember Ben. Ben is my favorite character. Overall, as he gets even better by the end of season two. And my favorite power is Allison's power. It's something about maybe the wording of her activation phrase.
Did you watch Hamilton?
Yes, I did a couple weeks ago.
Did you realize that she's the sister? The sister that's also in love with Hamilton?
No, she's
not.
No, she's not. There's literally no way. I firmly don't believe you. Holy crap.
Google Emmy, what's her name? Emmy something. I made the same face, but I was reading an article about her.
There's literally no way. It's Emmy Raver. Oh, she's performed in various Broadway and national touring productions such as Hair, Jekyll and Hyde, Wicked, and Hamilton.
Yup.
Okay, this is a different version than is on Disney Plus, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Because that lady has a very thin face. What the heck? She plays
the sister in Hamilton.
What the heck? That's insane.
Yeah.
And her hair so I'm like, cool,
she can sing too. I honestly, it took me a minute. Her hair, they just, like, the difference in her hair and makeup from season one to season two, I was almost like, is that even the same actor?
Mm-hmm. God damn, yeah, that's her. Like, she's definitely, I was just talking to one of my friends about Hamilton, like, last weekend, and I cannot remember it, because she's my favorite character in it. But I can't remember, like, her, oh, man, we'll do a Hamilton cast at some point.
Okay.
To all three people that care about Hamilton that listen to this podcast that are in that Venn diagram. Oh, she was on the original cast of Hamilton, and she's one of two original cast members that didn't take part in the filming.
Dang.
But returned later that year to actually play, like, the Angelica, that's her name, to play Angelica. That feels real off, damn. Okay, we're back now. Welcome to Spooky Cast, not Hamilton Cast.
Here we go.
Yep.
I found someone who was, like, going through and debunking conspiracy theories, and he debunked Johnson theory with the crazy lady. And he said that the only conspiracy theory that he couldn't debunk, he couldn't prove it, but he also couldn't not prove it, was that the CIA was behind it.
Interesting.
And then finally, the whole reason that we're talking about this. There's so many details and theories, and we could talk about this for hours and hours and hours, but the Umbrella Man. Did you know that this is a conspiracy theory?
No, I did not.
In itself? You didn't know that?
I don't know what you're talking about right now.
Okay. Like, the Umbrella Man is a conspiracy theory. So, like, at the beginning, like, towards the beginning of season two of Umbrella Academy, it's when, like, Hazel gives Five the suitcase, and it has that tape in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's supposed to be the Zapruder tape. I can't remember.
I think so, because it's labeled as something else. It's like family vacation or family photos or something like that. And like, it starts off with just like a dad, like taking a like bad video selfie. Yeah.
You know, Five's like, holy shit, that's my dad. And it like zooms in on him with like the trench coat and the umbrella.
Yeah.
That's the Umbrella Man. And that is an actual conspiracy theory of the JFK assassination. Which I kind of wondered if that's where they were going when they all landed in the 60s and they started dropping the JFK hints. And I only know about this theory because they talk about it on an episode of BuzzFeed Unsolved True Crime,
mm-hmm.
which is like, I love BuzzFeed Unsolved. They're so dumb. It's amazing.
I can also relate to that.
The paranormal, you need to watch it. The paranormal seasons, they go to like a lot of haunted houses and shit. Like they went to the Sally House in Atchison. And one of them doesn't really believe in ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is like, look, that you can't tell me that wasn't a ghost. He freaks out all the time. The one that doesn't believe in ghosts or anything, Shane, he just walks into a haunted house and he's like, all right, ghosts, I'm here. Fuck me up. Fucking murder me. And it's amazing.
Could not. My, like, to quote one of my friends from high school, my nipples clenched just hearing that. I can't.
I want you to possess me, fucking murder me, scratch me, do something. You're a fucking pussy. Like, he's just yelling all this shit at ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. All of the footage from November 22nd, 1963 shows a nice sunny day. It might be a little chilly, you know, like jacket weather. It's November, but it can still be pretty warm on Thanksgiving. We all know that.
It's sweater weather. It's either sweater weather or it's cold. There's no middle ground.
Yeah. One of the bystanders that's like closest to the road as the motorcade turns in that turn that was described in that like thing that I read.
The short left. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the motorcade turns and one of the people standing like closest to where Kennedy's position would have been is a guy. And as Kennedy's approaching, he opens his umbrella and lifts it in the air. And that's when the first shot is supposedly fired.
Oh, dang. So it was, like, probably a signal.
So, yeah. Ugh. And then the umbrella, his name is just Umbrella Man, he sits down on the sidewalk. So a lot of people have interpreted this as some kind of signal to the shooter, a shooter, whatever, or that the umbrella itself was some kind of like secret shooting dart weapon thing or something, and that would account for some of the weirder inconsistencies with the like bullet trajectories, which like is starting to get into crazy person territory, but you know, whatever.
Hey, I think people Mythbusters have... did an episode where like there are umbrella guns. Like you can
just go online and buy one. Yeah, and someone has said like this weapon could exist because I invented one. The guy is actually identified. This theory gets really weird. I don't know. The guy is actually identified, and he said it was his intent to use the umbrella as a symbol of protest towards the president because his father, Joseph Kennedy, was a supporter of Neville Chamberlain during World War One, and Chamberlain was just like super cool, letting the Nazis kind of do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly to probably try and avoid London being bombed and all that stuff that did happen.
Mm-hmm.
But he came before Churchill, and Churchill was the one who was like, no, fuck you, Nazis. My favorite depiction of Churchill, still Doctor Who, for the record. His signature fashion piece, you know, Churchill had his cigars, but Chamberlain had a black umbrella that he always like carried with him. The big long ones with the curly handle, you know, like a stereotypical umbrella. So I guess that became a symbol of protest towards appeasement, basically.
Okay.
Even Nixon, when Nixon was vice president, he banned his aides from using umbrellas.
Oh, damn.
So that he didn't have that imagery associated with him anywhere.
It makes sense.
He was identified from the video, and they contacted him, and he says that the umbrella actually, like, yes, he used it as a symbol of protest, but it actually blocked his view of the first part of the assassination.
Yeah.
And so he didn't actually, like, he heard the gunshot, but didn't really see what was happening. He didn't, like, see the president react to it or anything. And him sitting down on the sidewalk was just, like, him kind of being in shock and just, like, sitting down. Which is kind of weird because everyone else is running away and people react to shock in different ways, I guess, but...
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Who knows? A lot of people still think that he was somehow associated with the CIA, whether he was, like, the signal man or, like, something. Now, and I don't know how it ends yet, obviously, but now we have Umbrella Academy, where the dad is the Umbrella Man.
Mm-hmm.
There's your air conditioner.
Yep. Woo! A good whoosh.
So I don't really know how it ends. I'm fucking excited. But we can talk about Umbrella Academy some more now. Continue.
No, first I want to talk about a thing that I've taken my phone out like 10 times to look this up and keep forgetting what it was. So there's that Stephen King book about the JFK assassination, 11-22-63. Have you watched or read that?
Mm-mm.
Would highly recommend. HBO, 5 years ago, did a short series. It's really good. James Franco plays a history teacher that gets sent back in time to stop the assassination. That's like the base premise. So he's going back with all the knowledge he currently has, which is slightly above normal because of his like life's choices or whatever. And it's really, 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 really good. It's not scary. There are some suspense moments in it, but it's like overall just like a quality piece of TV. It's like 6 episodes, probably like 3 hours altogether. You could easily just like jam it in a night. Would highly recommend that. And the book is thick AF, thick with 5 C's. But you can also read that if you want. And apparently that's even better than the show. But everyone I know that's watched the show has said, who has like watched the show and read the book, has said that the show does a very good job like adapting it and is a very good standalone piece and piece when you include the literature as well. So
yeah
would recommend 11-22-63 if anyone has a lot of free time and wants to read a gigantic book or wants to just like watch a show with James Franco in it where he isn't just hanging out with Seth Rogen talking about weed. Would recommend it.
Or infiltrating North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Stu's one of favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, that is the Stewie special.
That's his Christmas movie until now.
What is it now? Is it Die Hard?
No, just because he used to spend Christmas alone, but I won't let him do that, so.
Oh, good.
He has to come do family stuff with me.
No, just watch Die Hard instead. Best Christmas movie. It's Die Hard and Home Alone. Best two Christmas movies ever.
I like Holiday Inn.
I've never seen that. I don't think I've ever heard of it.
It's got Bing Crosby in it. It's one of those, you know, Bing Crosby, there's dancing, there's... It's from a while ago.
Sure, me too, anyway, buddy.
But no, going back in time, that made me think, not James Franco, but how, like, Diego's super obsessed with, like, cutting off Lee Harvey Oswald's fingers so he can't...
Yeah.
Like, his trigger fingers, I don't know why, but that's really it's really funny to me.
The girl they meets in, like, in the nut house is, like, why does he can just use another finger? And he's like, no, but, like, you can't accurately shoot a gun if you don't have a trigger finger. And she's like, yeah, but you can still shoot a gun. And, I was like, I love their interactions. Like, in the, like, first half of the show specifically, they are, like, very, very, very good. Incredible. Yeah.
Before you find out that she's...
The worst.
Has a weird background.
Yeah, her backstory is ridiculous. And what else? There was something... you haven't gotten to this point yet, but in the last episode... Yeah, I think it's the last episode, or it's the second to last episode. Five tries to teleport, and he can't. And he's like, I'm all out of... I'm too tired. And in the same episode... in the same episode, Diego stops a bunch of bullets at one time, and it looks really cool, but then he gets physically exhausted. And I love that at the end of the show, like, it acknowledges, like, the limits of everyone's powers, which was really cool, because before, they all just seemed super busted, especially Five. Like, he can literally control the fabric of time, like, space and time.
Like, it's a little OP.
Yeah. The only one that isn't is probably number one, whose name I forgot right now.
Luther.
Yeah, Luther. Even though in the beginning of the season, he takes a, like, artillery shell to the back.
Yeah.
And it's just fine.
I remember that.
But the rest of the show, he's gotten the shit beaten out of him just with, like, human fists. And I'm like, how?
Yeah. I also really like that he just is super depressed because his technically sister is in love with, you know, not him. Exactly. And he's just, like, emotional eating, and it's really funny. And I guess in the comic books, like, he is depicted as being a lot bigger. But when they produced the show, they didn't want to seem like they were copying Fat Thor, so they didn't depict him as being fat. They just showed him, like, eating all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
There's also a spoiler that doesn't happen in the show, but happens in the graphic novels, that I'm, like, upset they don't touch on in the show at all. So I'm hoping that it comes up in season 3, and that season 3 is only 6 months and not a year. But we'll see.
How much of the show, like, what is the progression of the show versus the graphic novels?
I don't know. That's a hope question. I think it might be one-to-one, though. Like,
like a season for graphic novel?
Or... Yeah, I think so. And there's, like, I feel like there's 5 graphic novels out right now, but I could definitely be wrong.
I just need to order them at this point.
You really
should. I ordered all my Coheed and Cambria graphic novels. I got some Lovecraft graphic novels, even.
I did know, actually, that H.P. Lovecraft was an avid artist, so he did have several, collections of his art put to his novels.
Well, he was a huge letter writer, and he would often, like, try to do little sketches or stuff of, like, I don't know, so much of his work is based upon, like, not describing the horror, so it's kind of, you know, hard to, which is one of the reasons why it's so hard to adapt his stuff into, like, movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I think every once in a while he would, like, doodle something, or he would tell, like, describe something to someone to doodle. But what I have is a collection of his stories that are adapted, so, like, they're by different people into, I have one graphic novel that's just At the Mountains of Madness, because that's one of his longer stories, that's adapted into a graphic novel by an artist. And then I have 2 parts of an anthology that are his, like, really short stories that different people have adapted into graphic novels. So it's, like, all different artists, different collaborators. Like, both of the hosts of the H.P. Lovecraft podcast that I listen to are both featured in those adapting a story, and then they usually like either do the art themselves or they'll work with like they'll do the script part and then another artist and they'll collaborate to like come up with the graphic novel version.
That's pretty sweet. That's a really cool way to do that.
Yeah, it's really cool. But that's the extent of my graphic novels. Coheed and Cambria and Lovecraft.
There was something else. Oh, speaking of Lovecraft as well, related to the podcast, but not to the actual topic of this episode. Lovecraft Country is hopefully still going to come out on time, so everyone stay excited. Super excited for that show.
I bought the book, so I might try and read that before the show comes out. So from just reading the back and everything, the show seems to stick to the book's plot pretty accurately. So I guess we'll find out, but I'm excited to read it.
Excited. What's your favorite, there's so many things that are wrapped into the JFK assassination. What's your favorite building that you've looked out of?
I have no idea. What's your favorite building that you've looked out of?
It is a weird question. I'm kind of upset about it. In Manhattan, let's think about it that way. Let's narrow this down a lot.
I like Manhattan Hill, which isn't a building.
It's not a building. It's literally outside.
They did make that like little like awning though thing though, so that's kind of nice. That used to not be there.
No, my favorite building to look out of used to be Hale, the K-State Library, but that shit got burned down, so
sure did.
Can't be that anymore.
I did go to, this was not in Manhattan, I did go, when I went to Chicago for my 21st birthday, there's a sky bar at the top of the Sears Tower, and we went up there. That was kind of fun to look out of.
How much were those drinks, though? I mean, with inflation, because I know it was the late 1800s, so there's probably
Time, they were like your standard cocktail price, you know, like $10, $12, whatever.
Yeah, that's expensive.
Okay, but that's like what you would pay for a cocktail at the Five or at the Speakeasy.
That doesn't mean it's not expensive. It just means I've paid it because I have a problem.
Truth. Also, any of the castles that I went to in England have pretty good views from them.
Every White Castle I've been to has had pretty good views as well.
I have never been to a White Castle. Well, I've been to a White Castle. I never ordered anything. I have a feeling that one day someone is going to be like, I want that.
I've been to a Crystals. Like, Crystals, I think, is the same as White Castle, but Crystals is, like, more southern, and White Castle is more like...
It sounds like it's for hippies.
No, it's not. It's Crystals with a K. It's fancy, but not that fancy.
Okay.
And it's just real tiny burgers, tiny bourgeois, and they're steamed instead of... like grilled, or maybe the patty is like half grilled and then they like assemble the sandwiches and they like steam the whole sandwich to like finish it. Very good. I think that's all we got though
for
today. Thank you everybody for listening to another episode of Broadcast from the Belfry. I almost said Ghoulcast from the Broadfast, so that was very nice. If you liked what you heard today,
are you having a stroke?
I was, yeah. If you like today's topic, please let us know. You can contact us via Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram by searching Broadcast from the Belfry.
Tell us other conspiracy theories we should cover.
Oh yeah, tell us any other conspiracy theories. All four of us are like really, really, really big conspiracy theory nuts, actually, on one end or the other end of the spectrum. Like for any conspiracy theory, we're either super excited to debunk it and trying to like actively be like, no, that's not possible, or just like completely give into it. So at the beginning of this episode, I mentioned it a little bit, but I literally was at a bar with some friends and I left not thinking the moon was real, and it took me like a full day to like convince myself that the moon was real again. Like, I've never a day in my life before then ever thought that the moon landing was fake, but like that happened, and then that led me to think that the moon itself wasn't real. It was insane. It was such a rough day for me. So yeah, send us your conspiracy theories, send us whenever you want, really, and maybe we'll talk about it. We probably will. You cool. can also listen to us on places you listen to podcasts. Please like and subscribe if you haven't already. It helps with an algorithm that I still don't understand. But hey, strangers find us, and that's really cool. Can't say that yeah. in real life most of the time. So yeah, thank you for liking and subscribing. Please continue to do that. Give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down as well. Or an up arrow or a down arrow or whatever you want to do. Just up or down is awesome. The good old up and down. Georgia, what do we say to these shot calling, JFK balling podcast listeners?
Thanks for listening. Stay spooky.
Sluts.